If you will, open up in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 10 through 13. The title of the message for tonight is, Are You Equipped for Battle? Are you equipped for battle? You know, while you're turning, there is a battle being waged right now as we speak. But the battle I'm talking about isn't a battle that's being fought in a foreign land like Afghanistan or Iraq or Syria or other places you're reading about in the news. That's not the battle I'm talking about. In fact, every single person alive is involved in this battle. In fact, some of you out here tonight are right in the midst of some of the most fiercest fighting of this battle. This battle is being waged in the heart of every person, and it is going to be the most important fight that you'll ever wage. It's the most important battle you will ever fight. Listen, maybe right now you are someone who is struggling with past decisions that you made. You made some bad choices in your past, and they just keep haunting you. They just keep coming back. You can't seem to get away from them. Or maybe you're facing a tough battle of sickness. I think of Pastor Dan, poor Pastor Dan, fighting the flu right now, or others that we hear about in the church, or family members, you know, fighting that battle against cancer or some other kind of disease. Maybe you're struggling under the weight of depression, fear, anxiety, maybe addiction, some kind of substance, some kind of attitude, some kind of a belief has just got you in this strong grip, and it's tearing you and your family apart. You've tried to confront this struggle, you know, face on. You just wanted to go at it. You wanted to confront it, get rid of it. But no matter what route you took, that struggle just seemed to continue on. It just seemed to continue to just get the victory over and over again. Listen, one of the most important principles about going into battle is having the right equipment to fight the battle. You can't just jump headlong into a battle without having the right kind of equipment. You know, in our modern age of smart bombs and drones and machine guns and all sorts of stuff, it'd be ridiculous for a bunch of guys to go off into combat wielding just a club. They wouldn't get too far, would they? They wouldn't have the proper equipment, all right, to successfully fight that battle. It'd be ridiculous. Well, listen, the same goes for the battle that you're fighting in your life every day. Listen, if you go into battle against this struggle or these strongholds in your life with the wrong equipment, you're going to constantly face defeat over and over and over again. If you're going to stand, okay, against the power of this struggle, if you're going to stand against the strength of this stronghold in your life, you must properly equip yourself for battle. So tonight we're going to look at three principles from God's Word on how you can properly equip yourself for battle. Let's read in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. And going to verse 13, Paul writes here to the Ephesians, he says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for this opportunity tonight, and what a blessing it is to have your completed word, to be able to study and to read and to really just get that encouragement directly from you, Lord. What a blessing it is to be able to freely gather together with other brothers and sisters in Christ to share together what we learn from your word. What an awesome blessing we have here to be able to freely worship you. And Lord, I just pray tonight that we're all just ready and eager and willing to just set our own desires aside tonight and to just open our hearts to your truth. Help us to see the truth that you have in your word, the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding that you wish to give us. Lord, help us to gain the truth of these principles tonight, and not just to hear about them, but Lord, then to apply them in our lives. Help us to see areas that need to change. Help us to see the areas where we need to let go more of ourselves and to yield unto you. And Lord, I pray tonight to be just a simple and humble tool for you to use, Lord. Just use me tonight to share your truth. May we all grow together here tonight and to give you all the praise and glory. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So how are you going to properly equip yourself for battle? Well, the first way is by understanding who your real enemy is. Look at verse 12. Paul writes to him here, he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Listen, every day can bring the potential to face conflict. Conflict at work, conflict with family, conflict with your neighbors, conflict with just others driving down the road. There's a potential to face conflict. You may even face conflict with an object, like your alarm clock. I think I shared that before. My aversion to the old bell-clanging alarm clocks. I had a buddy in the Marine Corps who had one. I told him the minute I woke up and he was still asleep, it's gone. And sure enough, very next morning, that thing went off, and he's snoozing away. I took that thing and smashed it right on the ground, whipped open the door of the barracks, and kicked it right out. He woke up in enough time to see that thing flying out. I had a conflict with that alarm clock. It's amazing. You know, I remember as a kid, I had a fire truck and the ladder wouldn't go up, shaking it. It's amazing what we can have a conflict with. You know, your car won't start when you're late for work. You're trying to get out the door, you can't find your keys. I mean, everyday conflict, from the person who's driving too slow, to the neighbor who's, you know, putting stuff on your grass, to whatever it is, to just the struggles I talked about in the intro. The disease, sickness, family problems. You know, all of these possibilities can bring undue stress and may help to increase the strength that struggle has over you. Facing the overwhelming stress of your day, you feel the urge to just give up and give in to the frustrations. Listen, I'm telling you, there's people out here right now in the pews that are thinking, that's me. That's me. I've tried, but I'm just ready to give up. Listen, you may even start lashing out at your family, lashing out at your friends, yelling at that neighbor who can't control his dog, you know? But it's important to understand that they are not the real enemy. They're not the real enemy. Okay? Those outward oppositions are not your true foe. That's not who you're waging the battle against. In order to win in a battle, it is important to know who your real enemy is. If you don't know who your real enemy is, you will not be properly prepared with the right defense. Look at verse 12 again. And in this verse right here, you got the key to who your real enemy is. He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Is your real enemy a physical enemy? No, we don't fight. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, the Bible states that you wrestle not against flesh and blood. I like that word wrestle. It means either to throw, you know, like the old wrestlers on TV, they're doing the throwing, or it means to vibrate. It means just to get agitated, you know, just to get worked up in just a whole big tizzy, just wrestling. All right, it means just going around it. You don't even know what you're doing. It's like Paul talks about, like, beating the air. All right, and wrestling. We don't wrestle. We don't throw around. We don't get all worked up over flesh and blood. It's not the physical world. It's not your neighbor. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's not your friend. It's not your coworker that you're fighting against. So listen, who is your real enemy? If it's not a physical enemy we're wrestling against, then who is it? Well, the Bible's really clear. Look at verse 11. He says, here you go. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of who? The devil. The devil. So listen, if your real enemy is the devil, that's who you need to be focused on. And what is he trying to accomplish in your life? Well, get these. Listen up. What is the devil trying to do? Well, he's trying to get an advantage over you. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. He says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, in context, Paul's writing about forgiveness. He says we should be forgiving those that harm us. Why? So that Satan doesn't get a foothold. He doesn't take that unforgiveness and turn it into bitterness. And letting that bitterness turn into rage. And then instead of seeking healing and showing the grace of God, we reap destruction and harm and hurt. We give Satan an advantage in our life. And Paul says, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We cannot play dumb. We can't say, I didn't know. God gave us to it in his word. Right here, we can't be ignorant. Satan wants to get an advantage over you. You need to understand who your real enemy is. The second thing he wants to do is he wants to corrupt your mind with wrong thinking. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, we can take the most simplest thing and mess it all up, can't we? Throw all sorts of garbage in on it. Why? Because it can't be that simple. Oh, there ain't no way. It can't be just yielding to Christ. Oh, no, we got to throw on water baptism and throw on church attendance and throw on, you know, you got to memorize 35 verses in a month and all these sorts of crazy things that take us away from the simplicity that is in Christ. He wants to corrupt your thinking. He wants to get in there and instead of focusing on godly things, and resting on godly things, he wants you thinking all of these lies. And just like I tell my crew on Monday night over at Freedom Found, a half-truth is still a lie. And boy, we can just fill our lives with candy-coated half-truths. Listen, you candy-coat a rotten apple with that nice caramel, guess what? It's still a rotten apple. It may look good. You may start, you know, drooling at it, but it's still a rotten apple. He wants to corrupt your mind with wrong thinking. He wants to deceive you. 2 Corinthians 11:14 through 15 says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Listen, Satan isn't going around with the horns and the pitchfork and the tail and the mean looking face and trying to, you know, scare you away. No. No. It says even his ministers, they're looking like the greatest, smartest, most beautiful things out there. Just filling you full of lies. And listen, Satan wants to overcome you. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober. That means be clear thinking. Clear thinking. Be sober. Be vigilant. Don't put down your guard. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he can devour. He wants you to be so overcome with your struggle, so focused on those half lies, so focused on how horrible that person is, that you're unwilling to look at God's Word, see the areas that need to change in your life, and start resting in Christ and letting Him live His life through you. Listen, this enemy is very real, and you need to understand what he is up to. Because he'll use your neighbors. He'll use your spouse. He'll use your friends. He'll use the struggles in your life to keep you from growing in your relationship with Christ. And it's that relationship with Christ where you start to rest in the freedom that can only come through that relationship in Christ. Listen, if you're going to stand against the struggles that you face in your life, you've got to understand who your real enemy is. The second thing is by trusting in God's power and strength. Look at verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong where? In the Lord. And in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Confronting your struggles can be difficult. Never said it's easy. Man, some of them can be real doozies. That just will hang on there and hang on there. I mean, this April will be 8 years since I had a cigarette. You've heard me say it before. And let me tell you, even to this day, I walk past somebody, and for a split second, it's the greatest smelling thing in the world. It is. It's like, wow, that is awesome. But there's that half lie, okay? It can be difficult. I mean, 8 years, and still to this day, there's a little struggle that comes up. I thank the Lord now, I don't turn to it, I turn to the Lord, and then it becomes the worst smelling thing in the world. But for that split second, that struggle is there. It can be difficult. And listen, it requires a level of strength that goes beyond the power and strength that you can wield yourself. You don't have the power and strength to overcome it. Listen, so far you may have tried to overcome this struggle with your own strength, only to be let down over and over and over again. Listen, you may have even gone to outside help, saying, I need help. Help me with this. I mean, you heard me say it before. Man, you can get all sorts of books, go out on the internet, watch all sorts of videos, go to all sorts of different programs. But it's the same thing. It lasts for a while. You get out on your own, you're back in the struggle. Listen, you'll never be strong enough. You'll never have enough power under your own strength. Your own strength only lasts for a certain point, and then it fails. So if you don't have the strength, and the outside world doesn't have the strength, what are you supposed to do? Well, God tells us right there. God tells us right there that we are to trust in God's strength and God's power. Listen, God says, I know you got a struggle. I mean, this is the greatest thing in the world. And I'll do it through you. You don't have to, don't even worry about it. Just focus on me, yield your life to me, trust in what my word says, and I'll give you the strength. You don't even have to try to get the strength. Just trust in God's strength and power. God will give it to you. The phrase be strong means to empower. That means He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the power. It's translated also as enable or to make strong. He'll make you strong. In other words, the strength you need to overcome your struggles is not from your own effort. It's not a matter of how many verses can you memorize? How many times can I just put that struggle away? How far away can I run from it? It's about resting in God's strength and power. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. As you yield your life to Christ, He will fill you with His strength in the inner man to help you face the challenges that come your way. He will. I'm telling you, He will fill you with His strength. He will give you the strength you need to overcome that grip that struggle has. When it seems like you can't take another step, He'll give you the strength just to take that step. It may be a small one, but He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the strength. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's His strength. Listen, if you're to become properly equipped for the battle ahead, you got to know who your real enemy is. You got to know that Satan is out there and he's trying to deceive you. You can't just turn a blind eye to what he's trying to do. But then you also got to be trusting and resting in God's strength and in God's power. And the third thing is by equipping yourself with the right equipment. You got to have the right equipment. Look at verse 11 and 13. He says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. He says it twice. He says it again. The whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Listen, if you're going to become successful in any kind of battle, you got to have the best equipment for the job. In Ephesians 6:11, God's word instructs you to put on the whole armor of God if you're going to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Okay, the wiles means trickery. All right? If you're going to stand against the tricks, those half-truths that Satan's going to throw at you, you got to put on the whole armor of God. Notice the Bible doesn't say put on your wife, and I love her, okay? And she helps. She does. All I got to do is if I'm saying something or doing something, I look over and I'm like, oh, there's the face, the look. It's like, oh, man, I used to laugh about that when I was single. I was like, guys talking about the face. Yeah, right. Then I got married and it's like, ah, you know, but let me tell you, when I see that look or the drive home, you know, after church is quiet, I know I did something stupid. I do. So listen, I'm not trying to you know, minimize her role, because it is important to have that fellowship from brothers and sisters in Christ that can encourage you. But God tells us, put on the whole armor of God. Listen, she can help me. She can point me to where I need to go. She can give me that look that lets me know I'm doing something stupid or I'm saying something foolish. But I've got to make the changes. You know, 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26 gives instruction to Timothy on how to minister to people struggling. And in verse 26, and I'm going to just kind of sum it up real quick, Paul says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Shauna can't take that snare from my life. She can't just, you know, wave a magic hand or do a trick and the struggle's gone. She can't even give me the strength. She can maybe point me where I'm going wrong, show me in the right direction. But I have to make the choice to start resting in the only source of strength and start taking advantage of the proper equipment, the proper tools, which is the whole armor of God. God says, put on my armor. My armor. Don't trust in other people. Don't trust in other books. You know, don't trust that you're going to come to a Sunday morning service and listen to a great message and all of a sudden everything's going to be wonderful. Because folks, at one point in time, this church service is going to be over. And you got to go home. All right? It's just like people struggling with addictions. They get into addictions. Their drinking problem, their drug problem, whatever their issue is, that's not the problem. That's just the outcome of the problem. You see, they have an inner hurt or an inner issue, and they're trying to run from that problem through this substance. But listen, when you get done boozing it up for the night, the next morning always comes. And that problem's right there. Folks, it's just like that with anything else. You can get all encouraged by the latest, you know, help book, Bible study book, whatever it is. But God says, put on the whole armor of God. Put on my armor. My armor. Listen, not only is he going to give you the strength you need to fight, but then he's going to give you the proper equipment. It's got his armor. And listen, armor is one of the most important tools for defense. You know, I think about when I was in the Marine Corps, we used to wear the flak jacket. This big old, thick, heavy kind of thing, and you had the plates that you'd put in it to help protect against some of the rifle fire, but a lot of shrapnel. Without that, that stuff would just shoot right through you, like a hot knife through butter. It was armor, it was protection, you had your helmet. Man, I knew guys that were still here, buddies that had served in Somalia. That was the big issue right before I got in, Somalia. Guy got hit right in the head, and it just ricocheted off his helmet, cracked his helmet. But if he didn't have that armor, that would have been his head. Smash like a melon. You need the proper armor. God said, I'll give you my armor. My armor. God's going to give you his armor to stand against the temptations and the struggles and the strongholds. So if God's going to equip you with his armor, what is it? What does it look like? Well, go on down. I'm about to say scroll. I'm using my iPad here. Those of you with iPads, scroll on down. Those of you not, just look down on the page or turn. Technology. Look on down to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. He says, stand therefore. All right, he just got done. Take unto the whole armor again. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then verse 18, with all that praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, and supplication for all saints. Listen, I could talk a message on every single one of those pieces of the armor. We're not going to do that tonight. So, but listen, he gives you his armor. God's armor is made up of truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and the Word of God. And the Word of God. And where do you think you find every single one of those? Right in Christ. right in Christ. Christ is the only source where you're going to get God's complete armor. You got to trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the first step. Without Christ in your life, you have no hope. You have no hope. You will continue to face that struggle till the day you die. You'll have no hope, no strength. But once you trust in Christ, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, then you got to grow in that relationship. You got to yield your life to Christ. And you put on that armor by growing in that relationship through spending time with Him in prayer, that one-on-one time. Reading and studying His Word. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to study. You got to rightly divide. But then you got to be in fellowship with other believers so they can encourage you. They can mentor you. They can help show you in the Bible. Now, man, focus on this verse. Let's pray with you. Because the one thing that God does promise is He's going to give you the strength, but He's not just going to pull you out of that struggle. You're not just going to all of a sudden wake up and poof, all your problems are gone. In fact, the Bible says that all those that are in Christ, serving Him, walking in Him, are probably going to face persecution. That's more struggle. But listen, He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the peace to make it through those struggles. And throughout it all, glorifying Him. One of my favorite verses, Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." That's a promise. If you'll just yield your life to Christ, walk in the Spirit, living according to His principles, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't give in to those struggles. You'll be resting in that armor of God and yielding over to His strength. Your battle with the struggles in your life can seem to be overwhelming. I know, I've been there. I've been through some serious overwhelming situations. You may be desiring every step of the way, but it just seems like you're going in the wrong direction over and over. Listen, I'm praying that these principles really just struck into your heart. I hope you'll take them, and I hope they'll be an encouragement to you tonight to just stay focused on Christ, growing in your relationship with Him, and resting in the strength that only He can provide. If you're going to have victory through your struggles, you need to prepare yourself for the battle ahead. This can only become a reality by knowing who your true enemy is, by trusting in God's power and strength, and then equipping yourself with the right equipment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You again for this opportunity. And Lord, I thank You so much for Your grace and mercy. And Lord, just the sacrifice that You made for us on the cross. Through Your shed blood, Lord, we have forgiveness of sins. And we have that strength to make it through the struggles in our life. And Lord, I'm thankful for this church family. What a great encouragement they have been in my life, and I know in the lives of others. And I just pray for all of us here tonight, Lord, that we'll just seek a growing relationship with You. We'll set aside our own fleshly desires, our own worldly lusts, and that we'll just trust in Your Word and stand on what it says. And Lord, we'll put on Your whole armor. And Lord, that we'll give You the glory in everything that we do. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.